We got a text going on right here. For all the people like grass, and for all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. And you say, boy, that's short-lived. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but look what abides forever. The word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. So you have in your hand something that'll be in heaven. So if you've got your Bible, you can turn to Luke chapter 15 if you want to. We're going to talk about the Word. And the Word comes in different forms. If you need a Bible, Jim's going to hand you one today. Oh, I got it. I'm going to use this one.
We're good. Thank you.
Luke chapter 15. It's in the New Testament. And the written Word is in your hands now. And this is the thing that will abide forever. Isn't that cool? It's like, man, I need a lasting gift. You got it. Those are pew Bibles. If you're using one of those, it's Luke chapter 15. I'm not sure what page it's on. My assistant is gone. No, Sister Melanie usually looks it up for me. If you've got Luke chapter 15, what page is in the blue Bible?
740.
There you go. Now, look at this picture of the Bible right here. This is the living. This is the written Word. Here's the living Word right there. Jesus says in John, I am the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if you want to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, you got to know this Word in order to know that Word. And so here, if you want to be a disciple, seems like to me it would all be just common sense. I want God to breathe on me today. He breathes life into me. Who was the first man that God went and breathed in life into? Do you realize I'm sort of like Adam? When Jesus saved me when I was a little boy, I realized I was lost, wasn't going to heaven. I said, Jesus, would you forgive me of my sins? And I know that you died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day. You are a living God. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and save me. And he went and breathed life on me. Now, what's that spirit that we call lives in our heart now? That's the heart. That's the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit now convicts and comforts. On the days I'm hurting, he comforts me. On the days I do something wrong, he goes, nigger, don't do that. Anybody know what I'm talking about right there? Aren't you glad you have the Holy Spirit? Like, don't do that. And it's not like the demon here and the angel there, not like in the cartoons. No, I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I can quench him. I can hurt him. But he never leaves me. And on the days I'm victorious and filled with him, I just love it because all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every time you read the Bible, it's like getting a breath of fresh air coming from God. Anybody ever said that? Raise a window. We need some fresh air. Well, maybe your life needs some fresh air. So I'm going to give it to you. If you want to know Jesus better, read the Word. So it's to know this. Man, you need to read that book. Everybody agree so far? Okay, I'm just convincing you. From Adam to Christ, we've been covering the red thread that goes through the Bible. You said, I didn't know Jesus was in the Old Testament. Then you're in for a surprise because in the story of Abraham and Isaac, Jesus was like Isaac. He was a willing son to be sacrificed by a father. So it's like God and Jesus. Noah and the ark, Jesus was like the ark. When the people entered into the ark, they were saved from the things around them. So Jesus is the ark that we can enter in. By the way, who shut the door on the ark?
God
shut the door. God shut it and God opened it. So who saves me? God. Who loses me? God's the only one that could and he won't. He's promised that. So quit feeling like some of us lack assurance. We think, am I lost? What'd you do to save yourself? Nothing. What can you do to lose yourself? Oh, okay, that makes sense. So God saves me and God won't lose me. Yeah. Quit worrying that we're going to mess up what God's done. God's the ark. God's like Isaac. God's like Joseph in that he forgives us and brings us into the promised land. Ours won't be in the Canaan area. Ours will be in heaven. Naaman in the Jordan. Remember Naaman jumped in the river how many times?
Seven
times. Number of perfection. And Jesus is like the Jordan. I enter into him. Naaman did not put a foot in, a hand in. He got totally submerged. Guess what you do to get saved? You don't get saved partially. You get saved fully. And you got to enter into the Jordan. And by the way, the last one, the blood on the doorpost, remember that last week? We covered. If you put blood on the lintel up here and you put it on the doorpost, what's that look sort of like?
Cross.
A cross. And Jesus, that was the first Passover. And Jesus later died around Passover. God's putting together a red thread through the Bible. On to switch to the New Testament today. Well, of course, Jesus in the New Testament, that's where he was born and raised and grew up. But I still want to show you a story that Jesus, it doesn't necessarily talk about the name Jesus, but it's called Coming Clean and Coming Home.
and you've got Luke chapter 15. Anybody remember this movie? Mm-hmm. 1939, I asked my resident encyclopedia there. Annie, how many movies come out this year that could have won an Academy Award? Was that the Goodbye, Mr. Chips? Goodbye, Mr. Chips. This one's The Wizard of Oz, what else? Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, Jimmy Stewart. You know, you have a tub of stuff in there. Anything else? Gone with the Wind, anybody ever? Yeah, anyway, it was, Gone with the Wind. So we got a tub of movies coming out in 39. This little girl's called Dorothy, and she's decided to come home, and she says something at the end of that movie that I would thank all of us. You ever wandered away from the faith? Don't raise your hand. And you ever come back, and I use this. Some of us got a little phrase in our mind that means more to us than probably anybody else. And I've wondered, and when I come back and I pray, just on a given day, I'll just think, I feel like I'm away. And I'll pray and I'll tell God, I says, there's no place like home. And He just gives me peace and everything settles down. And for a few moments, I sense heaven and everything is all right and at peace in the world. And then you say, yeah, but we still got up and we still got to go to the hospitals to visit people. We still got problems. But just for a few moments, God gives us peace. And, but we're able with that peace to go ahead and tackle all those problems. But in case you said, there's no place like home. What's that mean for me? Maybe you've wandered from the spiritual home that you had before, so it's time to come home today. She came home in that movie, and I thought, that's cool. There's no place like home. What color were the ruby red slippers, by the way? Yeah, this ruby red. The scarlet color, and that's why I like this. Okay, where's our story going to lead us to today? Let me ask you if you've ever wandered for home. How long did it take you to ask directions? One thing. What do you do when you mess up? You just beat yourself up for 3 days and feel bad? Say, I'm horrible. Would Jesus ever say to you, you're horrible? So who's telling you that? That's the devil. And you are. You scum. Look who's talking. That ain't the kid we're calling Pop Black. You know, that's what I want to tell him back. That's what Grandma Reed would say. The devil tries to tell you I'm bad. Do you try and hide what you've done? Some people try to do that. It's going to surface sooner or later. It's like trying to hide a splinter. It's going to work its way to the top sooner or later. How long does it take you to finally say, I'm sorry? And as soon as you do, it's sort of like coming home and you feel forgiven. And Jesus, who's patiently waiting, looking your way, he's not mad. He's not hitting you in the head. That shepherd's crook is sometimes known to pull sheep out of danger, and that's what he does. He helps us get back on the path. When you mess up, fess up. When you mess up, fess up. It's a power in apology to say, I'm sorry. Now, in order to say, I'm sorry, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess, and we're fessing up, if we confess our sins, you finish this for me. He is faithful and just to what? To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess through faults one to another, James 5:16. That's sort of like being transparent. Here's what I've done. But people are going to think bad of me. You know what? God will think good of you. Because you're finally owning up and saying, God, please forgive me. And it's like a weight off your shoulders. It's worth it. The power of apology. So when you mess up, fess up. The power of apology. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm coming home. Would you forgive me? And it's like, some people who have been caught with a crime, they'll say, I was glad I got caught. Because I'm tired of running. I'm tired of having that weight on me. Okay. Turn to Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. If you don't know by now with that introduction, this is the story of the prodigal son. Well, in this chapter alone, there's a parable of the lost sheep. There's a parable of the lost coin. There's a parable of the lost son. Starting with verse 11, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Now, a couple of things you want to notice right off. Usually, when do you get someone's money from the estate? What's his son really saying? Two things. He could either say, I hope you're dead and I'll be glad to get my money, or I just want my money. Well, I'll be dead soon. Well, I can't wait. And is this the older or the younger son? Usually the older gets most of the money. He goes first. This guy's just stepping way out of bounds. Dad, I can't wait for my inheritance. Give me my money. So this young boy, gimme. His name wasn't Jimmy, but I'm not sure. But anyway, gimme. It's like, it's mine. Usually the older son asked.
This is unusual, too, because usually you get your inheritance at death. Give me the money. So his dad said, okay. He divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. Not long after that. So see, now he's got money. The younger son got together all he had, set off on a distant country, and there he did something with his wealth. He invested it. No, he squandered it in wild living. He took what took his dad years to what? Accumulate, and got rid of it in what? Matter of, in moments it's gone. A fool and his money are soon what?
Depart.
Yeah. So you get rid of that money. And by the way, your friends are so faithful when your money goes, they are right there beside you. No, they're not. Money runs out, your friends run out. Because you see, they aren't really interested in you, they're interested in your money. Like, let's just pretend I'm some young guy and I ask some beautiful girl out and she says, I'll go. Now, you still have the red Corvette, right? No, I traded in for a 61 black Studebaker. Oh, I think I'm busy this weekend. So, see, she wasn't really interested in me. She was interested in my red Corvette. Nobody would do that in today's world, right? Oh, yeah. Can I give you, we're right in the middle of this, but can I give you a quick reminder of what it's like to be in love with someone you don't see him. Captain John Blanchard stood up from a seat in the Grand Central Station. Stood up, straightened his tie, got him a good breath, and began walking. He's a little nervous. He's about to meet someone that he's never seen in his life that he's in love with. Say what? Well, you see, let me back up the story. He came home to his town in Florida, and he went down to the library and pulling off books, just looking at them, and he pulled off this light blue book and opened it up and was like, started reading through it. He was more intrigued with the written words than the printed word because somebody who had put notes in it had a very tender and sensitive and loving heart. And he went over to the librarian and said, I know it's an odd request, but you know me. Can you tell me who donated this book to the library? Normally I wouldn't, but her name is Hollis Maynell. And so, yes, I can tell you who it is. Gave her address. Soon, John Blanchard shipped overseas, goes across the waters, still looking at that book, still reading those notes and going, man, she's got such a heart. He writes her a letter and says, Dear Hollis Maynell, my name's John Blanchard. I am in the Army, and I'm intrigued by the words in your book, and it sounds like you're a sweet, sensitive person. I'd like to get to know you. She writes him back. Pretty soon a romance is budding, and they haven't even met. Finally, John Blanchard gets a little bit bold and maybe anxious, and he writes Hollis and says, would you send me a picture so I know what you look like? And she writes him back and says, if you love me, it doesn't matter what I look like. Wow, what wisdom in that. You're right. So he writes her back, and they continue, and now it's time to come home. And he writes her and says, would you meet me for dinner at Grand Central Station? Close to that. I'll be in the Grand Central Station. She says, I'll meet you. How will I know you? And she says, I'll put a red rose in my lapel. Well, you'll know me because I'm carrying that blue book that you, that's been my inspiration. You are my inspiration. So it's like, maybe you've heard of the song you wrote. You're the inspiration. The Play the Chicago did it again. I'm just kidding. He's going to meet somebody. Would you be nervous? Oh, yeah. What's this lady look like? So he stands up from a bench that he was on, tightens his tie, walking through looking for a lady that he's never met but he's in love with. So there's a little a red feather on a hat. Sort of gave him a heart attack. Keep looking for that red. Look at that. Thinks he sees her right through the crowd, and as he inches his last few feet, here, short, squatty, thick ankles thrust into the shoes, hair in a bun with a big needle through it, red rose. His heart sort of sinks a little bit. Wonder if I could fly or hide. Then he says, wait a minute, that's the person that's inspired me. Didn't think she was a really old person, but I still need to tell her that I admire her. And so he fights his way through the last few people, putting a bead line on her, and walks straight over, getting closer and closer. And about that time, out of these last few little groups of people, this tall blonde, long blonde hair, light blue eyes, pale green suit, comes right by and she says, "Are you going my way, soldier?" He probably thinks, "I could be." Wow! On a scale of 10, she's a 14. And then he goes, "Wait a minute. I got to go talk to Hollis May now." So, chokes back the disappointment, walks on past, puts his hand out. "How are you? You must be Hollis Maynell. I am Captain John Blanchard, and I'd like to take you to dinner across the street. You have inspired me for months. Your words are tender, and I don't know what I would have done without you. You've helped me to live through the Army and the rigors of the Army, and I just owe you a lot more than a dinner, but can I take you to dinner?" She just shakes her head. He goes, "Something wrong?" She says, "I don't know what this is all about. Excuse me. I don't know what this is all about, but someone asked me to wear this rose in my lapel. Said it was some kind of a test. And if you were to ask me to dinner, that was to tell you that they were going to be across the street in a restaurant." "Oh, matter of fact, you might have saw her. Did you see the tall blonde go by in the pale green suit, light blue eyes? That was Hollis Maynell." "Why?" So he reaches out, grabs her, and goes, he can't hug her. She, "Okay, thanks. I was going to lift you up, but my back." He just gives her a big old hug and says, "Thank you. You're a good person, too." And he shoots out the door to go across and meet Hollis Maynell, who was the beautiful. She would later tell him that, "I thought I'd give you a test. And I figure if a pretty head, pretty face would turn your heart once, it would do it again. And you didn't turn, so that means you're a faithful person, and you do what's right, and doing what's right never goes out of style." Amen?
Amen.
And so we've got to do what's right. Even when it hurts. So you got to do what's right. And by the way, John Blanchard was glad he did. Just think if he would have gave in to temptation. He wouldn't have had Hollis Maynell the rest of his life. Not long after that, son gets up, all he has, sets off for distant country, squandered his wealth on wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country. He began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his field to feed pigs. You don't understand how bad that is when you're a Jewish boy feeding pigs. Oh, never thought of it that way. Yeah. If you hate horses, I don't, but I'm just saying, if you hate horses, and I would say, "Brian, I've got a job for you. Here's a shovel. I'm going to show you where the barn is." "Why?" "You get to shovel manure. First of all, I don't like horses, and you're giving me the filthiest job in that. You want a job or don't you?" Okay. Can you imagine this boy reaching the depth of where he is? He is so desperate, he wants a job, but he sure didn't want this job. Goes up, probably, "Mister, I'm about to starve to death. Can you give me a job? I'll do anything. I don't want a handout. I just want a hand. You give me a hand and give me a job and I'll work for it." "Good, got you a job." "Whew, good. Need you to feed pigs. Do you have any other jobs?" "Because I'm a Jew and see, pigs are unclean." "Yeah, and these are desperately unclean." "You go feed them or you'll go hungry. Give me the slop." You may know what a slop bucket is. Boy, am I showing my age there. We had hogs when I was small. We'd potato peelings, empty up a cantaloupe, put that in there, pour milk, and then take it up there to the pigs. And you'd be slopping the hogs. That's what I did. Grew up with little pigs that were soon bacon and pork chops. And so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country, got him a job, and even in his state, he's not lazy. He sent him on his way there into the fields to feed pigs. He was pouring slop into the feed to pigs, and he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs ate. He is so desperate, he's willing to eat what the pigs are eating. But no one gave him anything. This would be like today, you're desperate enough to eat out of a trash can. I come back to Washington from Washington, D.C. one time driving a bus when I was at Roanoke Valley Christian Schools. We were coming back from a field trip. coming downtown D.C. and some of the kids on a bus, like, gosh, look right there. And I went, I turned around and they were pointing out at a man going through, digging through a trash can, finding a Hardee's cup. Can you imagine how desperate you'd be to do that? Oh, there's a half-eat cheeseburger. Lots of flies off of it. Be pretty desperate. That's where he is right now. He's desperate. Why don't he say, I'm sorry? Why don't you think he's going home right now? He'll never understand. That's the Satan talking to you. Your dad will never understand. You took his money and you blew it. Took you about 5 minutes to get rid of 15 years' money. And now where are your friends at? That's what he's thinking. Nobody wants to hear me. Nobody wants to help me. By the way, that's a lie that the devil's telling you. The pigs were eating food that he would have even loved to have himself. I love verse 17. But finally, when he came to his senses, he came to his senses, he said, wait a minute. I don't have to go back as a son. I'll go back as a servant. Yeah, I'll go back as a servant. I'll just say, Daddy, if you'll let me even call you that, can I just soon feed pigs for you? At least I'm around you. So he comes to his senses and says, even if I'm demoted down to a servant, how many of my fathers hired me and have food to spare? And here I'm starving to death. This is crazy. I'm going to set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. Can I show you something before you see a few more verses? Look at the first thing in this story. The son wanted his inheritance. He figured, I deserve this. Give me an E word that might describe that. Man, that's entitled. Entitled this. This is my money. How much did he work to get that money, by the way? None. That was his daddy's. How much work do you do to get saved? None. That's your daddy's, your spiritual father. Your spiritual father sends his son on a cross to die for you, and you act like, I deserve this. Really? You deserve this? No, you don't. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what it was. You brag about it. Look what I've done. Wasn't enough. Don't act like you're entitled. Right. God, I'm just grateful for the grace. You ever feel like that on some days? I feel like that story when the Republican and the center and the Republican come over and beat on his breast. Ah, God, you're lucky to have me. Basically, that's what he was saying. And the center said he couldn't even look up. He said, God, just be merciful to me, a sinner. That's me. Son wanted his inheritance. I'm entitled. Number two, he took that money. Give it to me. Packs up his bags. Takes off. His father obliged him. So his father gave him the money and the son did this. He exited. Just for a moment. Don't raise your hand. Have you ever left home before? Wonder what your daddy was thinking when you left. What were you doing? You're breaking his heart. When Joseph, with the coat of many colors, his brothers come back and told his dad and said, Joseph's no more. Here's his coat and it's blood. They had done that. His blood's all over it and a wild animal must have killed him. What did his daddy start doing? He's weeping. Oh, my son's gone. I bet you the father right here watches his son go off and just wiping back the tears. Well, why don't you go stop him? Have you as a parent ever had to let your child learn the hard way sometimes? Yeah, absolutely. You go ahead. I can do that. No, you. All right, go ahead. Maybe I can't lift this 4-ton rock. Just had to let you figure that out. And God will let me wander off because you're stubborn. And I'm stubborn. God, I got this. Let me live through my high school years without you being my guide. Oh my, this is going to be tough. And I did that. I exited. Sort of like you exit from the Spirit, the Holy Spirit ruling your life. Number three, father blessed him. Son became the black sheep of the family, so to speak. Wonder what his brother's thinking. Yeah, he ain't never coming back. Give me my money. It's like, no, his other brother just keeps on working, but he's griping about it every day. Rotten attitude. You're going to see that in a second. Son became the black sheep. Give me the E word for that one. He enjoyed being the black sheep, you say.
You mean?
Well, the Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. The Bible even says this. Moses, when he left being sort of second in command of Egypt, it said he could have enjoyed the sin of being that. Why? Because he wasn't your God. He gave up all that to become a follower of God. And Moses led the people out of Egypt. So sin is pleasurable, but for a season. Don't raise your hand. I wouldn't want to embarrass any of us. But if somebody says, that drinking's fun. Anybody know what a hangover is? Drugs are fun. Anybody know what the downside of that is? You know, this is, wait a minute now, are you sure? You almost remind me, I remind me, it's like a cat. This is exhilarating. We're climbing a tree. Yeah! How do I get down? And the cat's stuck now. Wow. Wow. About 2 hours. Wow. Thought you were having fun. If you could talk. I was. I like climbing. Don't like getting down. Well, see, in order to get down, you climb, you... throw me up a handkerchief. I'm going to parachute off this thing. You know, we always think that we've got it made. I'm going to be okay. It's got to be the downside of that. Son became the black sheep. He's enjoying. You think he is. And then one day he wakes up. Money's gone. Friends are gone. And he's awful. Number four. Son became so desperate he went and got a job. And I don't know how rich his daddy was, but chances are, except for working around the house, he's probably never had a job. And now you not only have a job, you're working hard and you're slopping pigs. Okay. That pig slop looks pretty good there. Hey, I wasn't eating pig slop. Yeah, you were. Man, you must be desperate. I am desperate. My stomach's empty. I'm tired of it growling. Wait a minute. My dad used to throw away food. Little light bulb. I'm going home. Have you ever had a aha moment? I'm going home. I'm going back to church. I don't care what people say. I'm going back. God, what God thinks about is more important than what my friends think about. So I'm going to go home. I reached that point that, after being what I'd call backslidden for a few years, I reached that point one time that didn't seem that I mattered. God, what he said mattered more than my friends. And I said, I'm going back. And I was excited. He just, the Holy Spirit just gave me the infusion of power. And I remember going back and I'd shake hands with people. I was, my car ran out of gas one night. And I pulled over my 71 Plymouth Duster. Yeah, a little bit cooler. And I got out and I was walking across the New River Bridge. But you know that big dip bridge? That's when they first built that. And I was walking across there and I'm thinking, it'd be cool to get some gas. Charlie Andrews pulls over. He was a judge's son. And I opened up the door. I said, Charlie, you give me a ride? Absolutely. Gotta go get some gas. Good. Close the door. And in between us was 8 Little Millers. I don't know if you've ever seen Little Millers, these beers that, you know, everybody... They were sitting right there. And Charlie said, grab me a beer. And I went, no, I don't drink anymore. I'm living for Jesus. What? Give my life to Jesus. I'm going to live for him. So I wonder if he didn't get out. No, he didn't do that, but it's like, well, that might be good for you, but it's not for me right now. I said, it's okay. Doesn't matter. Maybe you'll come around one day. Hey, thanks for the ride. Drop me off someplace. So I was just sort of marching into hell with a squirt gun right there. I mean, I just had boldness. I don't know if I always thought, but I was just ready to tell anybody that's what you do when you're desperate. I mean, if you fall over a bank and I say, oh, if somebody could just help me. Oh, man, you're tired. Car's up there. Throw down a rope. Hey, yes. Now look up. It's Joe Casey. Is there anybody else up there, Joe? I don't like you. Do we do that? No, we don't. You'd be your worst enemy and you'll grab that rope, won't you?
Yeah.
I hate you, but can you throw the rope down here for a minute? Yeah, you'll climb up. You don't care who gives you help, do you?
No.
Oh, man. I'm desperate. Number 5. Son came to his senses. I love that's my favorite part of this whole story. It's time to come to your senses. Aha. It's this. So the son does this. He entertains the thought, you know what, I could go home and I could become one of my daddy's hired servants and he would love me and well, I'd probably never stop loving me. I don't know. We're going to find out. Number 6. The son comes to his senses. The son gets up, packs his bag, walks through slop. Where are you going? My job's here is over. I am going home. And the angel's going, yeah. Do angels really do that? Angels rejoice when the sinner comes home. Can you imagine an angel going like this? Just for a second. Just for a second. Clap. Right here, ready? Heart. The angel's got tears running down. All the angels are behind like this. Because here comes that girl with the bag. Where you been? I don't know, being stupid, I guess. No, you're not. The angels just rejoice. And Jesus comes over and goes, I missed you. I know. Sorry. Sorry, wasted high school. He said, it's all right. You don't know it, but you're going to be a preacher one day. Don't tell me that. Okay, if you say so. You got a few more lessons to learn, don't you? And I walked out of the pig pen at about, well, I don't know, 75, and never been back. I came home, and God wasn't mad at me. Matter of fact, he was glad to what?
Glad to have you.
On both sides. You guys kill a fattened calf, Edgar's home. God, I don't deserve it. Well, what are you doing? You're putting a robe on me. I can't take this. That's my robe. Then you wear it. No, you get it. It's called the robe of righteousness. I don't feel very righteous. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God just forgave me of all my sins, cleansed me up, and I'm good. He might have had to take an iron brush to me, but I don't know. It's like, you ever been scrubbed clean by God? Amen. And the devil says, listen to you. No, I don't listen to you anymore. Listen to you long enough, wasted enough time. So I went home, entered into the yard, and here's what his daddy did. His father had been looking for his son all along, every day. Gets to reading the Bible, looks down the hill. Maybe today is the day he'll come home. And he looks down, and there's dust coming up on the road. Wait a minute. There's down the... Wait a minute. Well, and one of the servants probably said, where are you going? It's my son. And he goes out, slams the door, takes off running, pulls up the robe so he won't fall. That's what it means when the Bible says, gird your loins. You just roll this up here and take off running. And he reaches his son. Why did he go meet him? Father had been looking for him. The story goes like this. He got up and went to see his father, but while he was still a long way off, I don't know what you call a long way, his long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion. Compassion, he loves him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Oh, whew, you're home. Been worried to death. My grandma used to say this, Granny Green used to say, you've worried me sick. His daddy says, oh man, I just felt sick. I didn't know if you were alive or dead. I didn't know what had happened to you, but you're home. The son said to him, Father, drops his knees. I've sinned against heaven and against you. Don't call me son anymore. Father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Sandal on his feet. It's like, man, you treat me like a prince because you are. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he's found. So they begin to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came into the house, he heard music and dancing. They were just having a great celebration. He called one of the servants and asked him, what's going on? Your brother has come. He replied, your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back home, safe and sound. Older brother became angry. Now, I don't know about you, but I have that. Who would be angry that your brother has just come home? Older brother became angry, refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him, and he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders. Hey, I didn't go wild like your other son had. You never gave me even a young goat that I could celebrate my friends, but when this son of yours, didn't say my brother, who squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill a fattened calf. Hey, you welcome him home like nothing's happened. Boy, someone's found and he's mad. I can't believe that. My son, the father said, you are always with me. I love you. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because the brother of yours was dead and he's alive again. He was lost. He's found. Be happy. Angels rejoice.
So, you know, even there are some people in life that will still have a bad attitude. It's sad that that brother was...
He should have been excited. The father had been looking for his son. That wasn't going to rain on his parade. How was his father? His father was ecstatic. He was in. He just engulfed his son. And he wanted everybody to celebrate. Okay. Picture right here. Prodigal son. We all know one. We've been one or waiting for one to come home. Anybody fit that category, those three categories? Raise your hand. You waiting for somebody to come home? You been one? Have one? Right there's me in high school. I won't pick on myself too much. Is that you? Has that ever been you? Daughter?
No, my boy. I'm just crazy. You finally come to your senses. I don't know, maybe you pat him on the back for too long.
He finally does this and he says, okay, enough's enough. He goes home. His dad runs down to get him. And I just got to tell you this part. This is why I think he ran down to get him. I've read this in a commentary and I'm inclined to think this is true. Let's say I'm at the door and my dad's all the way at the wall. And he looks down and says, maybe it's even further than that. He takes off running and he gets him. Why does he run to get him? Two or three things. One, he's glad to see. Okay, but did you know this too? If his son would have came through the town and everybody was seeing him, what would those people of the town done? There he is. Yeah, we heard about you. I'm going to throw a rock at you. What you did to your daddy's awful. The Bible says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, he that is living again. Who has the power to condemn me? Only one. Not you. Now, Chris, you're my brother in Jesus. If you start doing something, I'm going to help you. But I'm not going to let that look at you. Don't ever do that to me. If he's my brother in Christ, I can help him and encourage him. He'll do that to me. But I think the son went down there to protect and shield his... The father went down to protect his son. He throws his coat around him. He says, come on, his son says, Daddy, can I just bury my head in your shoulder? Sure. Don't y'all throw a rock. Throw it at me. My son's dying. And he walks his son home. I love that. So he protects him. He meets him. And before the son's running through that speech in his mind, what am I going to tell him? What? It's Daddy. What are you doing? He squeezes fire out of him and says, I love you. My son's come home. So he met him to protect him, to get him home, to walk in and say, I'm so glad you're here. Consider Jesus saying, welcome home, I love you today. Maybe you've wandered off. I don't know. I did. You're in good company. I understand. The shepherd looks over the sheep. You say, right there you are, Edgar. I see. No, I wasn't in that patch. Let me show you where I was. I'm in the next picture. I'm in this picture right here. Seriously consider. I was going to my sin, by the way. That's me. Picture yourself. Yep. Second thing. Yeah, I want to be forgiven. He came to his senses. Third thing. You believe Jesus died on the cross for you? Absolutely. I mean, that's in the Bible. I know that. Well, how about this? They get tougher. Are you willing to surrender yourself to Christ? And the last one. Are you ready to invite Jesus into your heart and life right now? Well, I'll do it after a while. You remind me of Pharaoh with the pigs, remember? I mean, with the frogs. Frogs jumping all over the place. Moses shows up and says, I can get rid of those frogs. And you just name the time. And what did he say?
Tomorrow.
Guys, you're here. I'm offering you. I want you to come home. I'll do it tomorrow. Yeah, you keep putting it off tomorrow. It'll never get done. Are you ready to invite Jesus into your heart? So now, put all those questions. If you can roll them into a picture, it would be like this. You're down over the bank. You say, but he can't come get me. Yeah, he can. He's crawling down to get you. He'll leave the 99, the Bible says, and come do what? If you say, well, where do you get that from? Same chapter, chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. By the way, we're going to eat together today, so I'm welcoming sinners and we're eating together. We're biblical. Then Jesus told the parable, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one, does he not leave the 99 in the open field and go after the lost sheep until he finds it?
And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Here's a picture of him putting it on your shoulder. Boom, that's you and me. We're the black sheep. We wander down the bank. And he puts us on his shoulders and takes us home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need repentance. There's more rejoicing in heaven. Angels in heaven. So angels will rejoice when you get close to Jesus. They're going like this. Yes, victory.
Angels get to sing.
Okay. I think it's time to pray as we ready to come home.
Jesus is waiting on you.
Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, perhaps we could identify with the story today. We could be that prodigal son that wandered off and stayed gone for so long, but finally came to his senses. Jesus, I pray in the power of the Holy Spirit that people would come to their senses today. And that's not saying we're dumb or ignorant. That's just saying enough is enough. I heard that said so much. Enough is enough growing up. We've said it as parents. We've said it as young adults. We've said it as teenagers. We've said it in our own life. Saying enough is enough. I don't need to do this anymore. I just need to come clean. So, Jesus, we get a chance to do that today. So, Lord Jesus, would you speak to our hearts and would we offer you the only thing we can? Ourselves. You've got everything else. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. What do we need to give you? We can give you our hearts. So, Jesus, I pray that you'd forgive us. Help us to see that we just need to ask you to forgive us. We ask you to forgive and to claim us and call us your children. If somebody here doesn't even know you, Lord Jesus, help them to see that it's in simple faith that they invite you into their heart and ask you to forgive them all their sins and come and be their Savior. And you've said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you offer a free invitation for those who don't know you. And you offer, just like that father with the son, you offer that, that gift of love to those that have wandered away. You say, I still love you. Come on home. Come on home. So, Lord Jesus, may we spend a few moments talking to you as we close our service. I've prayed, and I'm going to ask you now to consider Jesus knocking on your heart's door. Revelation 3:20 says that, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and will dine with him and he with me."